Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shubel.
Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Luke Curtis here this morning. We're going to talk about Shannon Airport, the Shannon Air Museum, the Robin's Nest, all kinds of things this morning. We're all talking about airplanes and things that are around here. Luke, great to have you back. Good morning.
Good to be here with you, Ted.
This is exciting stuff. For people, we'll start off what I think is just one of the coolest things around here is the Shannon Air Museum.
Yeah.
That is really, really something. Before I had seen it and spent any time there, I thought, oh, that's nice. You know, they've probably got a few planes. You've got not only a few planes, you've got a lot of planes, a lot of history, and it's really a treasure for this region.
Yeah, we have 13 of the original Shannon planes that were here in the 1960s and 70s. They were collected by Sid Shannon Jr. And now we also have another 10, actually 11, that we've brought up from Richmond as well that weren't part of the original collection. So we've got about 21 aircraft. There's 9 on display. So about 40% of what we have is on display right now.
Wow. And I guess there are plans to, even as time goes on, to expand what you've got.
Well, we want to really expand it into kind of an aviation theme park, if you want to say, where we have basically, you're introduced with a light theater, a presence theater, like the Amish experience. And then when you leave, something like soaring, where you're flying through the country on a mail plane or on a Vaultee across the ocean. So we have a lot of plans. We have one of what we consider 3 buildings that are up right now.
Wow, that is really going to change that. That site there, if for anybody that hasn't been over to the Shannon Airport site recently, not only there's a lot of activity. I mean, anytime I've been over there, you've got planes coming in and coming out. But just the whole area, it has cleaned up your building, and it's a different place.
Well, you know, general aviation is such a neat thing, and this area has had a lot of general aviation. And most people in our area, including myself until about 10 years ago, didn't realize some of the aviation history that was really started here. I mean, we had the first cross-Atlantic commercial flight, Dick Merrill. He was the curator and lived in Fredericksburg. He was from Matthews County, but he lived up here, was a good friend of Sid Shannon Jr.'s. Yeah. So just a lot of neat history at that airport, and just the general aviation traffic alone coming into the community, and the access to it is neat. So it's a great opportunity.
We're going to spend a lot of time talking about the Air Museum, and also an air show, a Harvest Festival that's coming up at the end of October. But first of all, I think it's important to maybe go back a little bit, because a few years ago, 10, 15 years ago, I mean, there really was the concern that Shannon Airport was going to cease to exist. And talk about how you got involved, because in a way, you know, you're the one, you know, you helped save Shannon Airport and save what's there.
Well, I appreciate that. By the grace of God, we got involved about, I started flying in 2004. I was petrified to fly. I loved aviation as a kid.
Yeah.
I grew up, had airplanes on my ceiling, and P-51s, P-40s, B-25s. Then for some reason, after I got married, I got petrified to fly, and I was a white-knuckle flyer grabbing the seat. And I was actually driving by for our church here in town. I was buying a piece of property, and I walked into this guy's office that owned the property, and he had an AOPA magazine. And Mel was sitting there, and I said, Mel, do you fly? And Mel was about 72 at the time. He said, yeah, Luke, I started 20 years ago. And I thought, he was 52. I'm 42. I need to try this. And it might help our business, because, you know, we're having a hard time getting to the airports now. I mean, there's traffic.
There's traffic, yeah. I mean,
9/11 had unfortunately happened, and a lot of restrictions. And so I went by Shannon, and I drove by and stopped about 2 weeks later. And I asked if I could take a Discovery flight. And they said, yeah, be here tomorrow. So I jumped in. By the way, we have Discovery Flights now. But
so what's a Discovery Flight?
Discovery Flights, well, where you get in and you discover whether you want to fly or not and be a pilot.
Do they let you fly a little bit?
Well, you know, this is what happened. I thought I was just going to get in the right seat and discover whether I wanted to fly, but they said get in the left seat. Well, that's the pilot seat. So I remember the first time going down the runway, you know, I thought I'll never be able to do this, and took off. And when I got through, the fellow that Sean, who was my instructor at the time, handed me a logbook and said, "You have 1 hour." And Ted, you've known me for a while. When someone says you've got 1 hour of something with me, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
So Kim, my wife, she thought this would be just a pastime. I would get over it.
Sure.
And, you know, other than that, I started to fly. And in 2006, I got my license. And Billy and Stanley, who owned the airport at the time, were very instrumental in getting me involved. And after we started flying for the business, I realized that, you know, this airport was a jewel in the area. And I had asked them if we could get involved with it and take it over and possibly keep it around and redo it. And actually for our business, we thought about having a facility on the old – there's a lot of acreage there, 61 acres.
Yeah.
And we thought we'd put our manufacturing plant on the grass runway. But after we fixed it, it got so popular – we decided we don't want to ruin the 61 acres with a plant that's eclectic. You know, you're stuck with it. So it's just people started coming back as we fixed it up, and it just started to come back as it was in the past, as Sid had it.
So it took you 2 years to get your license.
It was the end of 2004, beginning of 2006.
Okay.
So about a year and 2 months to get my license. I took my time on it and. Started flying, and so I've flown for the business. I've got about almost 1,800 hours, and I've been flying for, 14 years now?
Well, the fact also that it's kind of funny and ironic that it was you know, the bad traffic in this area is what forced you to look for options.
Totally. I used to go to different areas for our company, Charlotte, Florida, Myrtle Beach, and it'd take 2 hours to get to the airport, 2 hours sitting in the airport. The flight might have been an hour and a half, but still, by the time you got there and got out of the airport, it was 8 hours. And in general aviation, you know, you can be to Myrtle Beach in an hour and 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And get out, get in your car, and go.
So. And I would think that that's going to become an option that a lot of businesses are going to have to look at.
Well, they really do. We're, you know, even coming up in the future, I think I mentioned to you yesterday, we're going to have a 135 operation, charter operation out of Shannon again, which will help people. They can actually charter a flight.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're knocking off a lot of time, and instead of, you know, maybe leaving in the morning and getting back after midnight or something, maybe you get back home end of the day.
People don't consider cost. They consider cost and price in different ways. But, you know, time, as we've always been told, is money when you're in business. And so if you can save a lot of time, you can save a lot of money to get things done.
I would think also Shannon is so strategically located. You're technically in Spotsylvania, but you're just a stone's throw from the city line. And for the city in Spotsylvania, at least, and even South Stafford,
right,
where we're sitting right now, I see your planes going in and out all the time.
Yeah, you're on the approach end of 2-4 here. So, in fact, the tower is right off to the right on the approach. But it very easy to get to compared to getting on 95 and getting to other places.
Yeah. No, so I think just for economic development, I think the city of Spotsylvania and Stafford have a lot to gain to have a healthy and a vibrant Shannon Airport.
Yes, plus the new aircraft that are coming out now. You know, you've got the Pilatus PC-12, which is a 10-passenger plane. It's like a jet stand-up cabin. They're made to fly into shorter runways. So I think the future is high-performance aircraft, single-engine jet engine aircraft that can fly in, turboprop, to smaller airports.
I never when I first heard that you were interested in that you were buying Shannon Airport, because I've known you for a long time, and I kept thinking, I never knew he was interested in aviation, and that you know, I you've always been kind of an entrepreneur, but this to me just seemed a little bit out of the realm. But boy, you have taken it over and have really, I mean, you've got some plans there.
Well, you know, it's I've always loved aviation, but I didn't know, not too many people knew that, but to have the blessing to be involved in it is amazing, and to look at the history again of that airport and to bring it about is just, general aviation, we need to save some of our general aviation airports, many of them in trouble across the country. And they're very valuable to communities. And I think communities are starting to recognize that.
Yeah. No, this is going to become an example, I think, to a lot of areas of how you can turn something around. Because that land was going to be was pretty close to being, I mean, I know there was talk about subdividing and all that kind of thing.
Well, it is. You know, it's in the battlefield. It's right there on Slaughter Pen battlefield.
Yeah.
So it actually is a part of the battle. It was really, the main battle was on the edge of the runway. So it's, you know, it's a lot of developers wanted to develop it into, you know, housing or condos and stores. And but it's just, we don't want to lose that jewel in the community.
Yeah. Shannon Airport, Shannon Air Museum, our focus this morning. Luke Curtis is here this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Shule.
Luke Curtis is here this morning. Shannon Airport, the Shannon Air Museum here. We also need to talk about one of the things that you might overlook if you're looking for a place for lunch. The Robin's Nest is a spectacular place and home of the it's a Cuban sandwich.
Yeah, that's growing up in Tampa, Florida. That's really Tampa's closer to Havana than Miami. Actually,
yeah.
If you look at the direct path. I grew up with a lot of Cuban friends, and so we had the Cuban sandwich and the black bean soup, and a lot of places have the Cuban sandwich, but if you want a real Cuban sandwich, it's got to be a certain way on Cuban bread pressed with honey butter, and we make a real good we kid around and say it's the best Cuban sandwich north of Havana.
Yeah.
I think the Tampa people would argue with that, but it's a great Cuban sandwich, and the restaurant's really neat. It's a 50-style restaurant. You know, we really do sandwiches well, and, you know, we don't have a big kitchen. We have a small little heating kitchen. So we're going to expand that a little bit here. In fact, in the next 3 months, we're going to expand that. But, you know, if you come in for a sandwich or a salad, best milkshakes around. We got great milkshakes. So
Mark Taylor, the Spotsylvania County Administrator, is always telling me you've got to go over there and get a milkshake.
Oh, they're good milkshakes. You know, feature Hershey's ice cream, but it's they're great milkshakes. And the restaurant's fun. You know, we enjoy it. Looks like a 50s theme.
Yeah.
You know, and it's there was a restaurant at the airport in the original days that Sid Shannon Jr. had.
So is that where where's the name Robin's Nest come from?
So one of the planes in the museum is called the Curtis Robin, and the Curtis Robin was actually hangared in the Robin's Nest. So where the restaurant is was a hangar that the Curtis Robin was actually worked on and built. Many of those planes were actually built, fixed, refurbished in that restaurant hangar where it was.
Well, I had a Cuban sandwich. You gave me one this spring, and it is just, I need to come back. I've told people I'm going to bring some people along with me and take them to lunch and get one there because it really is spectacular.
If you have a Cuban sandwich and you ask for something else on it or something taken off of it, then it's not a Cuban sandwich.
You got to take it what it's like.
You got to take it what it's like.
A lot of things is you definitely have had a vision for this. I mean, did it all, was this something as has it kind of grown over time or how's it all come about?
Well, we were talking yesterday. Sometimes my visions are a burden. I've got a lot of visions. As you know, my dad used to say I was always an actor. He said, you know, when I got in trouble as a kid, you know, Luke, you should be an actor. But I enjoy thinking about things and how things go together. And you know, I was in the manufacturing business, and I like to see things work together. So as I look at you know, how we would want to put things together and really use it, you know, for in a good way. For kids coming up, and you know, in the aviation is a great industry to be a wholesome industry. You know, a lot of opportunities. We're going to really run short on commercial pilots, and in fact, that's already a problem. A lot of guys are starting to retire now, and so there's a great opportunity in aviation. And so we really want to work with kids and build this museum and the airport campus. We call it a campus. Because we have the airport, we have the flight school, Shannon School of Aeronautics, JLS Aviation. We have the restaurant, and we have the museum. Soon to have an Airbnb across the runway. That's another plan.
I wondered. You told me about that in the spring, so that's going to happen.
Yeah, we're going to have an Airbnb. And so that's going to be exciting, so people can truly fly in and be in an Airbnb.
Yeah.
And so the vision's to build it and to make it a theme park on aviation almost in a good way to build up the next generation and to have this generation enjoy it, aviation.
Well, the other thing is you've got a unique partnership with Liberty University.
Yes. Liberty University, we're an FTA, flight training associate of Liberty University. And they have a great aviation program. I don't realize if most Virginians realize that in aviation, Liberty's number two or three now in the country of training pilots. They have over 400 aviation students down at in Lynchburg. But they have FTAs all over the country, and we're one of their FTAs here in Fredericksburg. So you can actually come and become a student, an online student, and take your aviation career right here in Fredericksburg through Liberty.
Interesting. And that's how long has that been in place?
Well, Jim Stover, who started JLS, and JLS is a part of us now, and Jim's still with us. Jim's a great, great chief pilot. He started it with Liberty about 2 years ago. So it's been about 2 years.
Okay. So, boy, there are a lot of things going over there, taking place over there on Tidewater Trail in that area. And it's exciting to see because that area of town, with kind of the Bowman Center has been kind of revitalized, and what you're doing at Shannon and all in the old GM powertrain plant has changed. I mean that whole area is changing right before our eyes.
It really is. And I appreciate the Spotsylvania Board of Supervisors and the county employees. Have seen the vision of Shannon. They didn't see it years ago, but the group that's there now, they do see it. And I'm very thankful for all of our supervisors. Gary Skinner's done a great job in that area, and that's Gary's district.
Yeah.
And Gary loves the airport. He's an aviator. But yeah, it is growing, and that area is really growing up. In fact, I'm hoping that we expand the road a little bit there in the future, near future.
Yeah, that would be, and like we said in the last segment, I think the city would be interested in what's going there because you're so close to the city line.
I think it's funny because we are in the community, and I think we're only like a mile and a half from the city. Not from the city line, we're not even a mile.
No.
But from downtown, we're like a mile and three quarters.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are flying into Shannon now, and I don't think people realize how many GA aircraft are now flying into Shannon instead of other airports to get to the city, to get to the area, to get out of the traffic.
And that makes this area, just for in economic development, all that much more. It's just something that it becomes, you take a look at what you can do and get in and out, and you can all of a sudden you can say, I can come to Spotsylvania, I can come to the city.
Right. The closer you get to D.C., the harder it is to get around. I mean, we all know, I've sat in traffic coming back from, I flew back from Tampa. It took 2 hours from Tampa International Airport to get to DCA.
And yeah.
I got it landed at 4 o'clock. You know what that means, 4 p.m. It took 3 hours to get home. So it took 2 hours to get from Tampa, Florida to Washington, D.C., 3 hours to get 55 miles to Route 3, and 25 minutes to get down Route 3.
That's a perfect story, and it illustrates everything. We're in the next segment, we're going to get into more of this, but just a little taste here. On the 27th, October 27th, it's the fourth annual Shannon Harvest Festival, and that's a big day, a very family-friendly day, and really a chance to see what we're talking about up close.
It is. It's a great event. Mr. Shannon Jr. had air shows. They had Father's Day air shows every year in June, and until he passed away in 81. So last year was the first air show in 36 years in the area. And this year, the second air show and festival. The festival's more than air show. It's an event. There's static display aircraft. This year we're going to have the Tuskegee Airmen trailer, the actual C-54. It's a four-engine DC-4. Big aircraft that's going to fly in. We're kind of hoping it can't take off, so it stays at the museum. But
yeah.
Tim Chopp tells me it'll work. So it's going to fly in and be there, and it's a flying museum, and that's all going to be there on the 27th. 25th and 26th, schools are coming out to see these exhibits, the static exhibits, and then the festival is actually on the 27th, Saturday, 10 to 4.
Every day. There is a charge for the festival to get in. It's 12 for an adult, 7 for, I think, 3 and up. And then we go 3 and under is free. But a lot of events, a lot of things inside that are free. The museum, which usually costs, are free with that fee. And the air show, which is going to be fabulous this year. Not just the flying circus, but we're going to have some few military aircraft, few different acts this year. It'll be a neat air show.
What a great day that'll be, October 27th. And again, it's something that's right here, and you'll see this up close. And I think all it takes is just to come to it one time to see. And we're going to get into talking more specifically about the museum when we come back. But a great day to see all this.
It's a great day. Last year, by the way, just a little bit of logistics while we're talking. Last year that we backed up traffic for about an hour and a half to 2 hours on Lansdowne Road. Not a lot of parking in the front of the airport, but there is some. But the fairground, graciously this year, has let us use the fairground. So the fairground's going to be backup parking. So we will have parking at the fairground this year.
Okay. That should alleviate all of that. Again, it's the Harvest Festival on October 27th. You said 10 to 4 at Shannon Airport. We're talking Shannon Airport. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Shannon Air Museum and what a terrific place that is. Luke Curtis here this morning with us. Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station.
Weather Channel.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning. Luke Curtis here from Shannon Airport, Shannon Air Museum, and the Robin's Nest. There's even a longer. I mean, Luke, we would spend half the show, I think, if I had to list all the things that you've got that you've got going there. One of the great things, and for people in the community who aren't aware of the Shannon Air Museum, really is something. And there's a website. And I should have written it down.
Shannon, there's the ShannonAirMuseum.com. And then there's
a Facebook page.
And the Facebook page. A lot of things on the Facebook page now.
And it's kind of like we have a slice of the Smithsonian right here in this area. That's really what it is. To sit in there, you and I sat in there and did a podcast and just looking around at it. I mean, it is true history.
A lot of small air museums in the country are a couple aircraft that are unique to something. In other words, you know, it might have been, this is like the one that flew in the war. This is something that we had here, and so it's unique. So we'll put it in a hangar and call it a museum. The Shannon Air Museum is a very historical museum as well. It's a lot of history in regards to the starting and founding of one of the four major airlines, Eastern Airlines, Sid Shannon Sr. being a part of the community here in Fredericksburg. You know, when the country club was Mansfield, what I understand is he was the carriage driver and he married their daughter, and that's how he got into his money.
Oh, really?
And he also down here in the city and on next to the pool, the swimming pool now near Mayfield there, the community pool, there's a house back in the woods that everybody sees, an old, it looks like a haunted mansion now. That was Sid Shannon Sr.'s farmhouse. That was the farmhouse of Lee Hill Farm.
I didn't know that.
And so the original airport was out by Belvedere Farm. And then the second airport in Fredericksburg was where the fairgrounds is. That's why it's called Airport Drive.
Okay.
Sid Sr. built that airport. Sid Jr. built Shannon Airport, which is where it is today, in 1950. But if you look at that history, Sid Shannon Sr., as a carriage driver, got into some money, wanted to fly. He became a mail pilot. He was one of the first mail pilots in the country. I mean, he wasn't the first, but he was one of the very unique thing. And he got involved with Pitcairn Aviation in Richmond. Well, Pitcairn Aviation in Richmond, which was at the airport now that's Bird Field, Richmond International, became Eastern Air Transport, which became Eastern Airlines. Eddie Rickenbacker and he. And Eddie Rickenbacker founded it with Sid Shannon Sr. So people don't realize that Eastern Airlines came out of the Virginia area and actually part of Fredericksburg area, Spotsylvania County.
Isn't that interesting?
Interesting.
And to talk, say, and, to, and if you have, if you've studied history at all, just to be talking about Sid Shannon and then Eddie Rickenbacker. I mean, Eddie Rickenbacker, we all learned in history.
Absolutely. Some people in the community have said, and I've heard this said, you know, back last year, someone said, why would we want to talk about a defunct airlines? Well, why would we want to talk about Babe Ruth? I mean, he's gone too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the beginning of the airline industry in our country. That's why we talk about it. It's not Eastern Airlines, although Eastern, Pan Am, American, and forgive me, there's one other, but they were the big.
When we were growing up, to date ourselves, those were the airlines.
Oh, yeah. Northwest Orient, TWA. Those were the big airlines.
Yeah. And so you've got in the airport, the airport museum, many of these planes, and you've got uniforms, and you've got, some of these planes are some of the only ones left in the country, and there's a history behind them.
Well, yeah, and you go back to that Eastern story, and you look at Sid Sr. flying the mail. They hired Dick Merrill. Dick Merrill worked for Pitcairn and Eastern Air Transport, flying the mail. Well, Dick was the first pilot in history. This is all over aviation history. It's in the Smithsonian. It's in down in North Carolina, the first flight area. Dick was the first pilot to fly a passenger across the Atlantic and back. He also flew the next year the King's coronation, King George VI, Elizabeth's father. He flew for the United States as a representative, and we have some of that, those pictures in the museum of the actual pictures of the coronation of King George. So we look at that, and Dick flew across the ocean in a Vaultee. Well, he and Mr. Shannon bought the last Vaultee in the world left. We have some of the plates from the Vaultee he flew across the ocean and some of the ping pong balls they used so it would float if it crashed. Okay.
Wow.
We also have the map that he used when he flew across the Atlantic for the cross-Atlantic, the transatlantic flight with a passenger and the coronation flight, his actual chart that he drew on. That's in the museum. The Vaultee that we have is the only one in the world. It was owned by William Randolph Hearst. So amazing. A lot of people flew in it, like Charlie Chaplin, we had Clark Gable, Greta Garbo. Really interesting.
And that plane is sitting right there.
Sitting right there.
At Shannon Airport.
At Shannon. And that's just one of many that are historic there in the museum. We have the mail carrier. We have the mail wing that flew the mail. And actually, the Pitcairn that we have, which says Eastern Air Transport on it, was the aircraft that flew the 50th anniversary with Frank Borland for Eastern in 1978. It flew to all their hubs. It's a bi-wing, a mail plane.
Yeah. Wow.
A lot of neat stuff.
Do you have a favorite?
There's several of them. I mean, the Vaultee is really a neat aircraft, but the Pitcairn and the Curtis Robin are really my favorites. The Pitcairn is such a neat looking airplane. And to look at that airplane, they used to fly in the weather where you couldn't see anything. Instrumentation was, as you can imagine, in 1936 wasn't much.
Yeah.
And they would fly and pick the mail up on a stick. They would fly from campfire. They would have beacon fires where they would fly in and land because of a fire on the ground would be the lights for the airport. So just totally neat stuff.
The Pitcairn, that when I saw it and took a look at it when I was with you, it's smaller than I thought.
It's not very big. And they used to fly at the time with animals. They were kind of like Hollywood stars. The mail carriers were Hollywood stars because, hey, no one hardly ever saw an airplane.
So yeah.
These guys would fly in. Dick, there's a story about Dick Merrill. He had a flying squirrel. And this is a true story. I hear it all the time. But they were over South Carolina delivering the mail, and there was a bad thunderstorm. And they say the flying squirrel left the cockpit over South Carolina. And they've never seen that squirrel again. They figured the squirrel didn't like Dick's flying. But that's a story. He really did have a squirrel and that he used to fly, a real one, that flew with him in the plane.
You mentioned that these planes are back at the Shannon Air Museum because when it closed, you know, they all got moved at one time, or many of them got moved to Richmond, and that was it. But you got them back.
Well, when in 1981. When Sid passed away, and the airport was very a happening place for general aviation. When Sid passed away, the planes remained another 3 or 4 years. The museum closed, and they were moved to Richmond. There's a society called the VAHS, the Virginia Aeronautical Historical Society, which the Shannons donated the planes to. And these were guys that were involved with the airport as well. They moved them to Richmond. About 3 years after that, they built the building in front of Richmond International. The state, the VAHS, got the state to take the museum over, and the state had a museum downtown as well. The state did a great job maintaining the collection for 30 years, and the VHS was also involved with that, the VAHS, in Richmond. And about, 30 years later, the state was considering whether they wanted two museums that close to each other in Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a little bit of a squabble going on, and we came around with Shannon, and I was at a meeting, and I said, SOS, save our Shannon collection, in front of about 500 people, and I was thinking we'd get a few of the planes back. And because of the little squabble going on, we got involved and were able to help both parties and move all the aircraft out of the museum. And the state actually gave us back the aircraft and donated them to a nonprofit, the Shannon Air Museum LLC.
Yeah.
And before we were through moving, Rich Conte at the state said, Luke, there's the other 8 aircraft here. We need them moved. Can you help us? And I said, well, yeah, we can. And he said, well, we'll donate the aircraft to that museum as well. So we have 9 aircraft over and above the Shannon aircraft that were originally here.
Wow. Timing is everything.
Everything.
And I was telling my wife about seeing and in getting together with you, and she mentioned that the Nye River Middle School is coming over.
Yes.
To take a tour, and she said, do you think they'll like it? And I said, I think their eyes are just going to be just wide open, because to me, one of the great experiences, when I remember coming in as a kid in the Smithsonian to see the plane that Lindbergh hanging up there, and you get the feeling when you walk in there among those planes you have, this is really history.
Really history. I mean, there's 7 planes that are one of 7. And there's 3 that are probably 1 of 2, and there's 1 that's 1 of 1.
Yeah.
So it's the only one.
The other thing is, these aren't just museum pieces. A lot of them, you said, are still airworthy.
Well, we're trying to get many of them flying again, because Sid Shannon Jr. believed that it should be a flying museum. And right now we have 2 of the aircraft that are airworthy, and they're flying. In fact, we've flown both of them.
Okay.
The Cub, the 1945 Cub, and the 1936 Fairchild. The Fairchild wasn't part of the original collection at Shannon, so that's a new one to us. The Stenson is an American Airlines Stenson. We're working on that to be the flagship of the museum, and that was owned by the vice president of American Airlines, so in 1937. So we have that in Fredericksburg.
Like I said, you walk around and see, and you've also got the Virginia Aviation Hall of Fame there.
Well, the VAHS, what we did, and they're a great organization. In fact, I'm a part of them as well. They are now on the airport. So the State Hall of Fame of Virginia is in Shannon. It's at the airport, at the museum. And the VAHS is on our campus there. Their headquarters is based right there in Shannon on the campus. And they you can join the VAHS. They're a neat organization. They're really recognized as the state aviation organization.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I mean, you can go up to Dulles and see the space shuttle and that stuff. That's a terrific museum up at Dulles. But what you've got, it's a slice of the Smithsonian. Really, what you're building there, which you even have now, but just your plans to even expand. It really is something individually, or take your family over there.
Yeah, we realize that, today's generation needs simulation, So we right now we're in the one building, but we have simulation. We already have simulators and everything else, and we're expanding right now. The second building, the Blue Hangars, we call them, which were here since 1950. And we're going to have simulation there, the Hall of Fame. I mean, there's going to be things for kids, hands-on experiences. So that's the next step.
Wow. If someone's interested, you always need volunteers or people to help at the museum?
We do. We have volunteer docents, and they're trained. And the docents we have are great, and they tell stories about the aircraft. And so, a lot of times you go to a museum and they tell you this is a a Wright-Patterson engine with six cylinders. And, you know, that's great for us engine geeks. But, you know,
I'm standing there just thinking, okay, tell me something about it.
But when families and kids and moms and dads and kids that aren't really involved in aviation yet hear the story about Dick Merrill's squirrel
that
jumped out of the aircraft. You know,
that plane took mail.
And they see it. And that's what we tell. We tell the story of the aircraft.
Yeah. No, and that you did when we sat down for an all-business podcast and you talked about, you know, I mean, you had me when you said that, you know, Clark Gable and, you know, was, you know, on that plane.
He was on the plane. Yeah. There's some videos that we have of the plane that flew across the ocean and Dick flying this plane. And so... pretty neat.
That is so cool. ShannonAirMuseum.com, Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 4.
That's Tuesday through Saturday, the museum is open 10 to 4. Usually there's tours on the hour.
Okay.
Sometimes when you come in, you get 10% if you buy a museum ticket. Very, very reasonable. It used to be $17 in Richmond. It's $9 here and $5 for children. Under 3 is free. But you get 10% off on the restaurant as well.
Ooh, okay.
If you buy a museum ticket, get that Cuban sandwich.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. ShannonAirMuseum.com. There's also a great Facebook page that'll give you all the details. Luke Curtis here this morning, Shannon Airport, the Shannon Air Museum, the Robin's Nest, among the things we're talking about. When we come back, we'll wrap it up by talking again about the Harvest Festival and a couple of other, tap a few more loose ends. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We'll be right back with Luke Curtis on News Talk 1230 WFV.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Luke Curtis here this morning. We're talking Shannon Airport, Shannon Air Museum, and the Robin's Nest for the Cuban sandwich. Fourth annual, or the Shannon Harvest Festival coming up October 27th, Saturday. And as we talked a few minutes ago about it, Luke, great family day. You'll get to see a lot of things. You'll get to see a lot of this stuff up close.
It is a great family day. I mean, there's areas that you can walk around with static aircraft that are flying in that are just neat. If it's usually a beautiful weekend, that end of October, we usually have good weather. I hope this, Lord willing, this rain, we're praying for the rain to stop, but several days before we're going to have mush, but the weather's been interesting this year, but it's a great event. And when you can see these aircraft up close and you can go through the museum and there's vendors there, food vendors. I mean, there's several different food vendors coming. Other vendors will be there. You can buy T-shirts, hats. There'll be moon bounce for kids, other things for kids. The Fairfax and the Spotsy Motor Squads are going to do a dual team up on their demonstration.
Oh, yeah.
The motor squads. So it's a good day. 10 to 4, the air show's around 1, probably 12:30 to 3.
Okay.
Is when the air show is. You know, get there for the whole day. Don't try to get there for the air show because the traffic's going to be difficult. Again, the fairgrounds is backup parking.
Yeah, you have that. That's a good way to get over there.
But it's usually a beautiful time of year to be out there.
And you talk about things that will get kids' attention these days. Still, there's nothing like seeing these planes up close.
Up close, seeing them, hearing the radial engines. I was told a while back before we got the museum that kids aren't interested anymore in the old aircraft. They just want to see jets. I have found that to be totally not true.
Yeah.
They just don't know. In fact, some of these old aircraft with these big engines, they're fascinated. I mean, I've seen little kids just go crazy over this stuff.
Oh, you see the propeller and how it looks and everything?
It's neat. Up close. I think this year that last year the Flying Circus gave rides. Now, usually an airplane ride and a biplane cost over $100.
Yeah.
Last year they were doing it for $40 or $50 just for fuel prices.
Wow.
There's some availability to that too. But yes, to get up close on these aircraft, to get into a DC-4 that actually dropped candy in Berlin for the airlift in 1940, what was that, 46, 47?
Wow.
45, I think, end of 45, 46. But that's the actual plane that dropped the Hershey bars and the candy, one of the many. There was several that did it. and it's a beautiful aircraft.
No, it's history, and it's right here. You don't have to sit in traffic and wonder what it's going to be like on 95. It's right here.
Well, we're known for our history. We can't erase history, you know. But we've always been known just for the Civil War history, and of course, you know, there's Union and Confederate. There's a lot of history here for those battles, and the airport's right there. But we don't realize that there's other history here.
Yeah,
the aviation history in this area is huge.
No, I was just going to say that with what the National Park Service, what we have with a colonial history and things. And you're
history.
Right in there. You're right in there now. You go and you see this stuff up close. There's nothing like seeing it. And it's more than just a few planes. That's what's exciting.
It is. I mean, and people don't realize actually that when the Union Army was at Chatham, the first military balloon was flown to observe where the Confederate lines were. And that's part of aviation history. That was in 1863, 62 actually. That balloon was tethered on a rope and it was raised up. And that was one of the first balloons used, hot air balloons used, to view the battlefield.
Wow. Well, Luke, this has gone way. We're going to have to, let's get together again and talk more about this. Thank you for what you've done for this community, because you took a chance and you've revived something, and there's just nothing but good things ahead for this.
Well, as you and I know, God makes us stewards of what we have, so I'm just a steward of the community and a part of you, part of you guys.
It's terrific to have you there. Shannon Airport, Shannon Air Museum, Robin's Nest, check it out. It is changing, and again, the Shannon Harvest Festival, October 27th, 10 to 4, be there. ShannonAirMuseum.com, the website, Tuesdays through Saturdays, 10 to 4 for the museum. You can volunteer. Check it out. Go out to Facebook, too. Luke, thanks. We'll talk soon. Thank you very much.
Great to be with you, Ted. Thanks.
Luke Curtis with the Shannon Airport and the Shannon Air Museum. Thank you for listening this morning. That's it. We will see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.